Inside Utah Politics with Lindsay Ayres.
Well, welcome on in today. We call this show IUP-TV. IUP stands for Inside Utah Politics. This is our TV, our streaming version. We have another show that airs on ABC4. We invite you over there Sundays at 8 a.m. and 4 p.m. But here we go a little bit more in depth. We bring in analyses for all of Utah politics. Joining me today, Adam Gardner, Rusty Cannon. Hi, fellas.
Hello. Great to be here.
Good to be with you.
Finally, we got some news.
Let's go. Right. This is the biggest political story ever. Another episode. I did one of these on Tuesday. I'm going to do a whole other episode on redistricting because awesome. It's just the biggest story and the only story really making waves in Utah politics right now. I do want you guys to introduce yourselves. Who are you? What do you do?
I'm Adam Gardner, and I'm a lobbyist
and get
in
right
Utah.
Up close to that mic, my friend.
Oh, yeah. We don't want any sound issues.
No. Rusty's been having sound issues with our podcast.
My name is Adam Gardner, and I am a lobbyist in Utah, and I do some federal politics as well.
Love it.
Rusty Cannon with the Utah Credit Union Association. I do advocacy for them. And this would be the time where I say that these are my opinions only.
Right, as yes. they should be. I do have to point out that you're both Republicans.
Yes.
Don't say that thing.
You have a smirk on your face.
No, that was not a criticism. That was pointing out that we don't have the balance that we typically have on this show, which is one Democrat, one Republican. That's how most shows do it. But today, sometimes our panel just falls to two Republicans. But I think it's great to have your insights today because the Republican supermajority here in Utah is really taking issue with this big ruling. So we are going to dive into redistricting and all things since the judge issued on Monday a major ruling, District Judge Diana Gibson, ruling that the legislature has to redraw congressional boundaries here in Utah because she says they overturned, she used the word, overturned an initiative called Prop 4 that created an independent redistricting commission. Basically, the judge is saying here that the legislature, in doing that, repealing and replacing that initiative, that was an unconstitutional act. And thus, the congressional maps that they drew after that were based on an unconstitutional proposition because they overturned the will of the people. Adam, let me start with you. You have feelings
okay,
today?
Okay, so I got some feelings, and I got to get them all synthesized into one thing.
Let's go.
What I think is really interesting here is this case has been going on for about 3 years. It's been going on a long time, mm-hmm. and for about 8 months, we've had the arguments already done, and she sat on this for 8 months, and then she tells the legislature, you have 30 days.
Okay, but how do you know she sat on it? Like,
well, it doesn't matter what she did. She could have spent, hey, this is super important. I got to get this right and take a long time. Great. But you gave something that took almost a year for the legislature to do in drawing districts and said you have 30 days to now do it all over again. It's also important to note that on Prop 4, Better Boundaries Initiative made the assumption when they got this thing passed that the legislature had the right, the final say, to draw these boundaries. And they made recommendations, which is great. I think there's a lot of people that can make recommendations. Actually, any normal citizen, myself, you, there are thousands and thousands of maps were turned in because you can just go online and create your own maps and get them down to the street level and every person living in a congressional district and say, this is what I think. And the legislature can take that into account. They did that. That process happened. And now all of a sudden we're saying we don't like who our representatives are. So we're upset and we want to change. And the judge agreed.
That's not totally what they're saying.
That's exactly what they're saying.
Let me bring in the lawyer from the plaintiffs, because on our Sunday show, we had him on Inside Utah Politics. So Rusty, I'll have you react to what the lawyer says here. His name is David Ryman. He represents Better Boundaries. They are the group that ran the initiative that created the anti-gerrymandering criteria that the legislature now has to follow. This is what the people voted for. So we talked sort of about that issue that you just brought up, Adam. Prop 4 was being drafted. Your clients, Better Boundaries and League of Women Voters and Mormon Women for Ethical Government, all these anti-gerrymandering groups, really stood arm in arm with the legislature, kind of created a compromise. And the whole Prop 4 was drafted under the notion that the legislature was given power to redistrict. It's why the proposition said that the legislature didn't have to accept the commission's maps, rather just vote them up or down. How do you square that now with the fact that the judge is saying that's not actually the case?
Well, I wouldn't characterize, are you talking about the compromise or are you talking about Proposition 4?
I'm talking about Proposition 4.
Proposition 4, I think that she accurately described what Proposition 4 does, which is that it puts limitations on the way in which the legislature exercises its power to draw maps. It has the ability under Proposition 4 to say we're not going to accept any of the commission maps, but if it does that, it has to satisfy certain requirements, none of which it did, and it has to pass a map that is not a partisan gerrymander. That's what the voters of Utah voted for, and it is perfectly constitutional for the people to put limits on the exercise of that power.
So, Rusty, essentially what he's saying there is that, like you just said, they're putting limits on the power, not doing the drawing of the maps.
Yeah, I think it should be noted, first of all, he didn't answer your question. There was a compromise as part of that.
I'm a really good journalist.
He totally dodged that part of your question.
You were correct, though, right? In your explanation.
Exactly. Yeah, I think I need to get something off my chest. This is all about, I think we need to talk about what this is all about. This is all about Democrats want a donut hole in Salt Lake County. That's it. That's what this is all about. If you look at the maps that the independent committee came up with, 2 out of 3 were donut holes right there. That's what this is all about. Let's just be truthful with everybody. I'm looking right. I don't know which camera to look at. But that's what this is about. If you said tomorrow we will basically just give you your donut hole, they would just drop this issue. I think there is so much hypocrisy on this issue, it drives me nuts. I wish they would have the same talking points that they would go to, say, California and do the same issue. Right now, their governor is saying, hey, take kind of that Utah model that we set up where it's this independent, fair committee, throw it out the window so we can gerrymander. This happens everywhere. If you look at like a case, a state like Massachusetts, about 36% of the vote is Republican. They have 9 congressional seats. Guess how many are Republican? Zero.
Yeah.
Zero. Gerrymandering is just part of the way the country has always worked, the way it's been set up. The Supreme Court has affirmed that. I think this judge is dead wrong. I think she'll be overturned, if not at the Utah Supreme Court. That's a bit of a wild card. Certainly, if it ever made it to the U.S. Supreme Court, I think it would be easily overturned.
So the issue here, though, is not so much, like, the judge didn't even rule on whether we gerrymandered or not. She ruled on whether we overturned a citizen ballot initiative. So that's really the crux of this case. Like, to your point, Rusty, Democrats can't come out and say we gerrymandered because no one has proved that, right? There is no, I mean, they say they have evidence of that and they make the argument that Republicans did, mm-hmm. but you cannot say that we gerrymandered because no court has ruled that we did.
But gerrymandering to one group is not gerrymandering to the other. You right. have to draw a line
so
down
I should
a particular
say, I should be,
street.
I should be clear, unconstitutionally gerrymandering, right? Because right. that's what the plaintiffs are arguing.
Yeah, but that's still an issue that I think is open because what, let's say Adam and I are on opposite sides of the spectrum. What he thinks is fair is not what I think is fair. Somebody has to make that decision and draw that line somewhere. If your district looks like a circle or an oval or a square or a salamander or whatever, somewhere a street or a neighborhood is going to be divided up. It's mm-hmm. going to land somewhere. Anybody can accuse it of being the wrong way, but there's just no way to go about it. The U.S. Constitution is clear. I think the state constitution is clear. This is up to the legislature. Despite what the judge said, the legislature does not include the people. It is the legislature, right? They elect their legislative representatives. I think she's just dead wrong on all facets of this case. I hope the legislature digs in.
Yes, certainly you guys both agree that she's wrong on that point, right? She's saying that redistricting is a legislative power that the people have co-equal power to do. And to the lawyer's point, they're not necessarily... they're basically co-legislating, right?
Can I make a comment on
please.
That? Because... We're talking about the people. Let's keep in mind that when we say the people, we are also talking about the people's representatives. I have someone that I know cast a vote for a map that I can get mad at and yell at and write a screaming email to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't do that. But
never.
Theoretically, it can be done, right? That is their role. I know who to hold to account. On the other side, an independent redistricting commission represents the people. Who are the people in this scenario? If I asked any of my neighbors to name their representative, I bet I could get 2 out of 10 to name their rep or their senator.
Right.
If I said name a member of the independent redistricting committee that takes place every 10 years, I could ask another lobbyist or another lawmaker who's on this committee.
Yeah.
Nobody knows. Nobody knows these people. They're not accountable to anyone. So my argument is, great, this is a co-equal branch of I guess a branch of the
power,
legislature,
co-equal power,
yep. of the legislature and the people. The legislature is the people. They are the people that we elect that we can yell at. And trust me, I know they get yelled at a lot for
right,
their actions.
I will just push back that what she's citing here in this ruling is the power in our Utah state constitution for the people to alter and reform their government via initiative. That is what the Utah Supreme Court upheld. I know you both think they got it wrong, but that is what she's saying.
That, and that, your point's well taken. You're totally right. That is what she's saying. My problem is what the courts have been saying over the last couple of years is once a citizen initiative makes a change, you are now locked in and the legislature is not co-equal anymore.
Well, you can't impair what the voters wanted is what the ruling said, right? So you can't change that reform so much that it, in this case, what the judge is saying is it impaired the reform.
And that's why I thought your question was so, was great that you asked to that attorney, because you said when Prop 4 was passed, you did it with the understanding that the legislature held this
authority. Right. It is
authority.
Kind of confusing that they acknowledged that
power. But the judge is saying, no, you don't have
right,
that authority.
Exactly. It's confusing to me. It's confusing to me as, like, who's right here?
Yeah.
And that's why I say I think the Utah Supreme Court needs to tell us who has the power to redistrict.
And now we got 30 days to draw that.
It'll be interesting to see what they do. So it was just announced before we were recording this that they issued a statement, right? They're going to try to do it in 30 days. The question is, what does that map look like?
And let me read a portion of their statement for you, Producer Peter, if you want to pull that up for us. Despite a, quote, misguided court ruling and an arbitrary 30-day deadline, the Utah legislature will defend its constitutional authority and move forward with redrawing the state's congressional map. The court's order unconstitutionally ties the legislature's hands. Let me pause there just for a second. I want to bring up this point. The legislature argues that the ruling issued, the remedy issued by the judge is unconstitutional, meaning they don't believe that she has the power to call them into special session to fix these maps, because what she's doing by putting a 30-day deadline on them is saying that, so in order to draw new maps, they have to gather in a session. They have to be in session so they can vote. Mm-hmm. They have to call themselves. And so she's essentially saying, you have to call yourselves. Now, on the other side of that, the plaintiffs are arguing, well, no, she's just ordering them to redraw code. And the fact that they have to call themselves is a byproduct of that. So give me your take on that. Do you think her ruling is unconstitutional?
I think she just has a basic misunderstanding of the Constitution. I thought it was interesting that the end of the attorney's answer that he gave you, I think it was the last requirement is, and it can't be gerrymandered. Oh, come on. Whatever you think is gerrymandered, somebody else doesn't. Like, there's no way to split that hair right there. It is always going to look like a gerrymander to either side of it, no matter what you do. Mm-hmm. So they're basically giving an impossible scenario that will never be come to fruition. And that's my point. This is all about a donut hole wanted in Salt Lake City or Salt Lake County. That's what this is all about. And it's just, it's not going to happen. At least I don't think it's likely at all to ever happen here. And that's what just drives me nuts.
Look, I've been involved in, this was decades ago, of drawing the boundaries in 2010. And it is a tough process. What I hated was I would go to these meetings and they would say, we need to make sure that it looks good on a map that we draw.
Looks good?
It has to look good. It has to look not gerrymandered.
Okay.
Because we look at a map of Illinois and we see their districts, we know that it's gerrymandered. So the interesting thing is you had congressman of the first district who lives in Brigham City, represents Logan, Ogden, Layton, and into Salt Lake, and then also has the Tooele Valley. Hmm. It looks great on a map,
right?
Like you can just go from Brigham City to Tooele, but you can't. You have to drive through two other districts to get there.
Right.
It's really tough when you're drawing these, when you have to get it down to the one person, one vote, when that's not how these districts actually are in real life.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so going on to, I'm going to push you guys a little bit. I don't know if you answered my question. Is the judge's 30-day ruling unconstitutional? Do you think it's unconstitutional for her to issue this 30-day ruling?
I think their argument was great when they said, you're telling us to call ourselves into special session. You're not allowed to do that.
Right.
They are right.
Can the judiciary require the legislature to legislate outside of a normal session.
They have a great point. And her point of, I'm not calling you into special session, I'm telling you to do something, and the fact that you have to call yourselves into special session is on you. They're actually both right.
Does this issue get litigated?
If I may offer here, please. I do think there is something kind of sneaky going on with this, where we already knew that the legislature was looking to go into special session anyways.
That's fair.
Right? You could say that the timing on this is very convenient, because she could say, well, if you're going into special session, you have to address it then. But I'm not going to end up actually having to use the power of this court to enforce sanctions if you don't call yourself into special session, because you're already going to do it. Mm. So if you just don't do it when the special session is in effect, then we can take it from there.
So you think she already knew that a special session was coming, and so this wasn't an overly burdensome requirement?
I think that if there continues to be kind of some legal gladiatorship on this, it's going to come down to the fact that they had an opportunity to approve new maps in a special session one way or another, and it was never going to come to the court forcing them into special session. Mm. Where, you know, I think it is a good question whether they are allowed to do that to effectuate a remedy from the court. But I just think that the timing ends up allowing them to dodge that question in sort of an effective way.
Mm. Interesting.
Okay, good point.
Rusty, any more thoughts
on
that?
Well, he makes a great point. If that's the case, then she is definitely driving an agenda if she was being that strategic about it. To Adam's point, was the arguments in January and you sit on it until the end of August? Really? I mean, I think that bolsters the point that I worry, as many people get fired up about judicial activism. I'm not saying that's what this is, but it's hard not to ignore. It's just I think this does not sit well in any way you look at it, whether it's constitutionally, legally. I just think this judge is flat wrong.
Okay, so since we've seen the legislature come out today and say, we are going to comply with this 30-day order, we are going to redraw the maps here, what is their path forward? Because I know I've covered this legislature for a lot of years. I don't see that they like to lose. So they're saying they're going to comply with the court order, but I feel like they're going to get their way in some way or another. They're a Republican supermajority. What do you think their play is?
So what's their way?
So I guess their way is they draw the lines that they're all still very safely Republican.
Well, they said that in their they didn't say safely Republican in their statement, but in their statement they said representing rural and urban. I think that is a great idea. I think there are great points to that argument of saying we think a diverse voting base, a diverse constituent base is a good thing, versus just having a, you know, urban district, a rural district. I think that makes total sense. I think it's justifiable. If I were to make a bet now, I think the map that comes out could be very similar to the current one.
Yeah, I think so. You're saying they'll just change that Mill Creek line to make it go along the border of Mill Creek,
well,
and they're still fine.
Instead of dividing it in Mill Creek, right. I'll just divide it in West Jordan.
Yeah, or, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Or go along the border and you're fine.
As a West Jordan resident, I would love four congressmen.
Right? You could just stand on the
three congressmen and a congresswoman.
Yeah. There you go. Please.
Yeah, the lines, again, I guess I'm repeating this, but the lines have to be drawn somewhere. And it's going to make the person on the right side of the street mad because they aren't on the left side of the street. I mean, it's
going to
happen.
And you're saying it's the legislature gets their way. They don't like to lose. I agree. Who does?
Right.
But on the other side of that coin, it's if they don't get their way, what does that look like? It looks like a Democrat district. So there's
a problem for you?
It's
not a problem for some people.
So it's not. But what we're saying, the reason I think it's a problem is we're not just saying that it has to be drawn a certain way with certain criteria. What we're saying is we need a specific D plus 13, Democrat plus 13 district. That will satisfy us. That's how we know it's equal.
Okay.
So we need to gerrymander.
That's what the plaintiffs would argue, but I think they are saying they want them to follow the criteria, and they don't believe that they did with the current maps.
But often their criteria is to gerrymander the other direction. Like there's no way. That's the point that drives me nuts. Is you're just
they
saying
they wanted a Democrat map.
They want a Democrat map. You want to gerrymander it the other way. Let's just all admit it. That's what you want. You go to others. That's why I talk about other states. There, you go to another state. You just flip the whole script. It's R's complaining about D's. Whether it's in Massachusetts, California, Illinois, the Republicans are completely run over. I would love to see all of those voicing so much concern about this, giving equal voice to that in the other states. But they're not, because it's all about wanting to gerrymander a district where a Democrat can win easily in Utah.
Well, we had districts where a Democrat could win before we redistricted, right? I mean, yeah. We had Ben McAdams, we had
but
Jim
even
Madison.
After we redistricted, we still had two Democratic congressmen. Jim Matheson switched districts to run in the fourth.
Okay.
And then we had Ben McAdams.
Yeah.
So we had it twice.
Right.
Yeah.
And now they're more solidly Republican.
They're the same district. Just get better candidates.
I mean, then this gets to another part of the conversation is
no, that's your opinion.
Where is the Democrat Party going in directional nationally? I think there's been some news about that lately, too. I don't want to go down the rabbit hole on that. We can if we want, but maybe people aren't buying what you're selling, and maybe that's what you need to shift instead of just trying to redraw the line so you can gerrymander in the other direction.
Well, you also have, there's 14% of, I think this was your number, 14%
statewide
Democrats.
Registered
Democrats.
And part of the issue here, we don't know how many Democrats there are in Utah because they keep open primaries, right?
But we also know from who voted for them for governor and Senate.
Yeah.
And so we can kind of guess that number is about 28 to 31%. Percent.
Okay.
And so that's what we're looking at, the number of people that actually vote Democratic. So registered Democrats, 14%, and their claim now is give us a district.
Yeah, and then like you go to California, last election Republicans, about 39-38% of the votes in California. Guess how many of their 52 congressional seats are Republican? 9. 9 out of 52. Way below 38 or 39%. It's just... That's the part that drives me nuts is this is an issue in every state. It is the way that it goes. And I think some aren't just being as honest about this argument is that you're just upset that you can't win a race. I'm saying maybe change what you're selling and people will buy it better is go win an election with the given boundaries because I think anybody can.
Yeah.
We're not going to end up with a place where, at least with this legislature, where you have a, I keep calling it a donut hole, a central place where you can just safely put a Democrat in. That is not going to happen.
Mm. So what is the final outcome here? How do you think this resolves itself? The legislature has signaled they will still pursue a stay with the Supreme Court by themselves this outside of this 30-day window, maybe by themselves
you
some more time.
You have to pursue both sides,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I've heard some chatter that they may pursue that to the U.S. Supreme Court. I've heard some chatter that they may propose a constitutional amendment to make sure that the legislature, it's clear in the Constitution who has the sole power to redistrict, which way or all of the ways do you think they go?
That's hard because you have these citizen groups that can that have a lot of power and can block kind of whatever initiative they decide to go down. Mm-hmm. But I also think it's important to note that a constitutional amendment has to be voted on by the people.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're putting it out there again for both sides to make their arguments. And I would say both sides are maybe a little bit wrong. And it's somewhere in the middle as it usually is. But I think the outcome that they're searching for here is we're going to keep the same basis of how the boundaries look, and we're just going to shift the lines and
to comply. Prop 4's requirements.
I think one interesting thing to remember, I had forgotten this till I was reminded the other day, Prop 4, it passed barely. 50.3
to 49.7.
Republicans
like to make that argument. Is anyone any less elected? Is anyone any less elected because they won at 50.3%?
No, but I think it gives context that some might think that there's this overwhelming majority that thinks this commission was a good idea. It was 50.3 to 49.7, pretty much down the middle.
Okay.
I should have voted.
You know what?
I'm just kidding.
The people have a voice here in Utah. They have the right to alter and reform their government, and the government can't impair that unless it's narrowly tailored to a compelling government interest. I've read that constitution way too many times. And these rulings. Last night, it's like 10 p.m., and I'm scrolling the ruling again, like looking for just... I need
a
life.
It was a long ruling.
I need a life.
Tell why it took her 8 months.
I need a life. All right, you guys. Adam Gardner, Rusty Cannon, thank you guys so much for your perspectives today.
Thank
you. Appreciate it. And, of course, you can always find us wherever you podcast. We're also in podcast form. And then on ABC4, turn on your TV. And at 8 and 4 on Sundays, our Inside Utah Politics show will be all about redistricting this week as well. We've got the lawyer for the plaintiffs and Senator Scott Sandel, Republican from Brigham City, who was instrumental and named in the lawsuit with redistricting. So hope you'll watch there, too. And we will see you next time.